97.9 FM. Good morning. Welcome to the Inkaba Science Show. The Inkaba Science Show, of course, comes your way every Monday, 9 o'clock till 9:45, and then we'll bring you a repeat broadcast of each episode on Thursday at 5 PM. On the Inkaba Science Show, we'll help you answer science-related questions by bringing experts in the studio to dissect all these issues for you to be able to understand. So today, we'll be looking at the science of child development from conception to birth. How does an embryo develop into a fetus and then into a baby? All of this is what we'll be exploring in this episode of Inkaba Science. You will also be considering the factors that influence the process of conception to birth and address common issues of concerns about congenital anomalies. My name is Alon Tabayusu. Thank you for being a part of the show today. And our guest is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University College Hospital, UCH Ibadan. It's Professor Shina Oladokun. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's begin with, the science of child development. Of course, that's the issue for today. But I'd like us to start with the science behind the development of an embryo to a fetus.
Thank you very much once again, and welcome the audience to this program. Right from the beginning, where science has actually told us or shown us that for embryo to develop, you need the male and the female gamete for the two of them to fuse together and become an embryo. And subsequently, for humans, this will continue for the next 9 months or so, or thereabout, on the average. Some deliver earlier, some deliver a little bit later, depending on the situation with the individual. But that is just a very good summary of a complex procedure. Because when we say the gamete from the man and the woman, there are a lot of things involved. They need to be normal. The gametes need to be normal to have a normal product. And oftentimes, when there are some defects, either with the male gamete or the female gamete, then the product too might not turn out well. Either they end up with miscarriage, or those of them that did not end up with miscarriage are born with some form of defect, or the other, what we call congenital malformation.
Okay, let's look at those processes. You said there's a long, process in the development of that embryo into a fetus. Let's look at that complex process now.
I'm trying to see how to present it in a way that it will not appear as if I'm giving some scientific jargon.
I mean, it's a science show.
I know, but the audience need to also be carried along. This gamete, this egg from the woman, nobody can see it with the naked eye. You can only see it under the microscope. It's so tiny. The same thing with the sperm. What comes out during ejaculation, you think you bring out something, but there are situations where the sperm inside might not even be good. Or some people might ejaculate ordinary fluid, what we call watery fluid, and there's no sperm inside. So there is a lot of interplay of genetic material between the gamete of the woman, the egg of the woman, and that of the man. And when this genetic material mix together, it becomes an embryo. Usually, this mixing together, this meeting of these two embryos, usually take place inside the woman's reproductive tract. Most of the time, in the tubes that usually are the each end of the womb. And so, when this fertilization takes place, the embryo that results from this procedure migrate into the womb, and the pregnancy continues to develop. Again, there could be a problem with the male gamete, there could be a problem with the female gamete. A lot of things can happen.
Okay, let's look at the various factors that influence that process of conception, to the development that you mentioned now, the factors that could influence, this development.
Thank you very much. Culturally, the society believes that the woman, of course, everybody sees the woman's tummy getting bigger, and then they will say she's pregnant. And so if she's not having a big tummy, she's not pregnant, Most of the time people think the problem is with the woman. But that is not true scientifically. The men too contribute equally to these things. Because, like I said earlier on, if the gamete, if the sperm of the man is not of good quality, or there's even no sperm at all, there won't be any fertilization. And if there is fertilization with poor quality sperm, it may not result in live birth. And so, when you look at causes of what can be responsible for failure to achieve fertilization, failure to achieve pregnancy, both men and women contribute almost equally to this. For the women, the problem can be with the control of the release of the egg, what we call ovulation. The problem can be with the womb inside. Or the problem can be with some other extraneous factors, maybe toxins that people have been exposed to, radiation injury, depending on if the woman has been having some treatment for other conditions before. And even at the time of the production of the eggs, there could be problem with the genetic material of the egg, what we call the DNA of the eggs. And this may also impair the ability to achieve fertilization. The same thing can happen with the man too. The same scenario. It can be with the production, what we call the germ cells, what usually lead to the sperm cells during maturation. There could be problem with that, either because the DNA content of the sperm cells too are defective, what we call factory defect. And in some cases, the tube where the sperm cells usually migrate from can be blocked, and so the sperm cells will not reach the destination. Let me quickly say that what usually come out during ejaculation, during intercourse from the man, is a contribution from three organs, basically. The testes that will produce the sperm. That's what we call the prostate, and then seminal vesicles right inside the man's pelvis. All these also produce some fluid, and all of the three will mix together and come out as semen. So, if there's a problem at any of these points, then there could be problem with fertilization of the egg by the sperm that the man is going to produce at the end of the day. And so, when we look at it, usually when people come around with some of these challenges, we have to run some tests to see if we can identify where the problem can be or where the problem is. And from there onward, we'll try to institute appropriate treatment options.
Okay, so you've explained what is needed for the fertilization to take place in the first phase. So let's now move it, from that first phase to another phase now. Now fertilization has taken place. There's already the meeting of the gametes that you mentioned, and embryo is there. So let's look at the phase of the development into a fetus in the to put it in a relatable term, in the woman's tummy, basically.
Thank you. Yes. Following the mixing of the genetic material of both the male and the female gamete, depending on the constitution of those genetic material, those are the things that will now control further development of the embryo into a fetus, into a baby. Now, with adequate, appropriate, or optimal genetic materials with no defect, the is being programmed how the embryo now continues to develop into a full-blown, full-sized baby. It's been programmed. But if there's a problem with that programming, then there could be challenges along the way. Anyway, so the process from that fertilization till delivery, so to say, takes about 9 months on the average.
Okay.
And usually divided into three phases. The first phase, what we call the first trimester, second trimester, and third trimester. The first usually has to do with the development of the embryo into what will look like a baby later. We talk of the early development. the cells that have developed from this fertilization will start laying down what we call the building blocks.
Okay. Like the foundation.
The foundation. Mm. The building blocks is like what will turn out to be the eyeballs, the brain, the body, the stomach, the liver, the legs, the arms. That is where those building blocks are laid down. Thereafter, whatever has been laid down will now develop into that specialized structure. And then, by that time, when you, nowadays, I mean, ultrasound scan is available everywhere.
Yeah.
You go and do a scan, you can even see the baby waving at you with the fingers because the building blocks had already been laid down. Now, during the period of this laying down of the building blocks, there could be a problem.
Okay.
If there's interference with that phase, with that process of building block being laid down, what result might not be what we expect. So you can have babies born with some maybe short arms, no head, no eyeballs, no this, no that, fusion of some of the organs because the building blocks were not properly laid down.
In the first phase.
In the first phase.
Okay.
Okay. So we leave the first phase, everything is laid down, the baby start, you can now identify the baby with all the features that look like a baby. So there will be further development of those specialized, those building blocks that have now they've matured into specialized organs, the arms, the legs. So it will continue to develop like that until we get to the third phase, third trimester, whereby the body is preparing for delivery. Again, along the way, things can happen. There are some medical challenges that will interfere with some of these processes, and they can interfere with the progression or the development of the pregnancy. And that can lead to early delivery in some cases, or some challenges during delivery, or taking decision to deliver earlier than expected. So when a woman is going for what we call antenatal care, care of the pregnancy, some of these things, they usually look out for them to see how they can either prevent or minimize the complications along the way.
Okay, so you've mentioned that there is already a program. Everything has been programmed from that the first phase to the final phase of development of the baby in this case. So what are those things that could go wrong to that could disrupt this program that you've mentioned? For starting with the first phase, for instance.
Yeah, it could be because of the genetic materials of what came out.
Of what came together.
What came together, rather.
Okay.
Yes. It could be because of that. It could be the problem with the woman herself. Because her womb is like an incubator. It's like an oven. A bakery oven. Okay? So, that environment must also be conducive for whatever is being laid down to develop properly. So, things can go wrong either from the baby that is growing inside or from the woman that is accommodating the baby inside. So, what we do normally when they come for the care during the pregnancy is to check a few things with the woman, be sure that she's not having medical challenges that can interfere with that process. Common medical challenges like hypertension, diabetes, okay? Some people might have other challenges, other chronic illnesses that can interfere with that. So, for those who have that, before they get pregnant, they are usually optimized. Optimized since then that those challenges are controlled before they get pregnant, so that the negative effect of those things will not impair on the development of the baby.
Is it possible that, because you mentioned earlier that for the conception itself to actually happen, the man has to be, you know, at a certain level, there are some requirements that need to be met, and then the woman also, there are some requirements that need to be met. So even after meeting those things, like the standards, you know, the sperm and the egg and everything, is it possible that after meeting those things and the fertilization begins, the program can still be disrupted?
Yeah, the program can still be disrupted along the way. It's a long process. I mean, 9 months is a long time. Anything can happen.
Regardless of the fact that the man might be complete.
Regardless of the fact that the DNA component, the genetic material will be
fine.
Two gametes are fine. Yes, somewhere along the line. It's like putting people inside the room. They are healthy, they are okay. But suddenly there is no light. There is no water. They are normal initially. But when there is, if you can't have access to water, there will be a problem after a few days. No light, you can't even see anything to do. So the same thing happens with this development. Anything can go wrong along the way. Anything.
And are some of these problems, because you talked about for the woman, certain things have to, like I mentioned earlier, are some of these things that if the woman, for example, before the conception cannot, you know, conceive, basically, some of these problems that you are highlighted, apart from exposure to some kind of treatment, are they also genetic too?
Not all.
Okay.
Okay. For example, if she has some medical conditions, poorly treated, it will even impair on her ability to achieve pregnancy in the first instance. Okay? Because don't forget that I said earlier on that this process, they are under a kind of auto control. And so some of these medical challenges can affect that auto control. Okay? And in that situation, she may not even be able to get pregnant in the first instance. Mm. And if she does, then those medical challenges, if they are not well controlled, they will affect the development of the baby. Okay? It's like having, you have your tap, and then you have the tank. And somewhere along the line, something is blocking the supply. You won't get enough water into your kitchen, into your bathroom, unless you go and unblock whatever is blocking your pipe. Meanwhile, your tank is okay. Water is getting there. Either through the municipal supply or through your own effort of borehole and deep well. So, the same thing inside. If there are medical challenges, even though the thing was well formed, the baby is not going to get enough nourishment along the way. So that can affect the baby.
All right, it's the Inkaba Science Show. We're discussing the signs of child development from conception to birth. Our guest this morning is Professor Shina Oladokun, is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology, University College Hospital, UCH, Ibadan. Remember, you can be a part of the show by calling 0700-1000-979. 0700-1000-979. We'll take a short break and we'll get back. We'll be taking calls and getting more answers to our questions from our experts in the studio. Don't go away.
Dad, why does the sun follow me everywhere I go?
I think it's actually just everywhere you go.
What do you mean, Daddy?
My son. Well, science explains how the Earth revolves around the sun.
Interesting, Dad. I thought the Earth is a stationary object. How does it revolve around the sun?
I don't have an accurate answer for this, but I do know where to find answers. The Inkaba Science Show on the Beat 97.9 FM, Ibadan.
Okay, Daddy.
Son, where are you off to?
I'm off to tell my friends to tune in to the Inkaba Science Show every Monday on the Beat 97.9 FM Ibadan by 9 a.m. and also catch the repeat broadcast on Thursday by 5 p.m. We can't miss it!
The Inkaba Science Show, powered by Inkaba Biotech, Africa's genomics company.
The Beat.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
This is the Inkaba Science Show.
All right, welcome back. This is the Inkaba Science Show on the Beat 97.9 FM. Remember, the show comes your way every Monday, 9 o'clock till 9:45. Every Thursday, we bring you a repeat broadcast of the episode. So today, we're looking at the science of child development from conception to birth, the process of development of an embryo into a fetus and then into a baby. We're answering all the questions for you. If you are, you know, if you want answers to any question regarding that issue, call 0700-1000-9. And I will also be considering the factors that influence the process of conception to birth and address common issues of concern about congenital anomalies. Our guest again is Professor Shino Aladoku, Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology, University College Hospital, UCH, Ibadan. So let's look at the because you've told us earlier that this is a there's a program already, and sometimes let's take this call. Hello, good morning. Hello. Hello. Hello, good morning. Your name, where are you calling from? Your name is?
My name is Ephraim. I'm calling from Ibadan. So
all right, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, listening to your topic, but sorry, the question I want to ask is a little bit out of the over discussing. Like, I want to ask someone who's having a problem of mortuary spasm, what can be the remedy?
A problem of what?
Mortuary spasm.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, then. No problem. Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you. 0700-1000-979, that's the number to call to ask any question on the show. So let's start off with the question from our first caller.
Simply put, if there are challenges with the sperm quality, a simple test will tell us where the problem is and what can be done. What you refer to as watery sperm, that's what you see. You cannot really see what is inside unless the sample is sent to the lab for check. Like I said earlier on, what comes out as semen actually is a contribution from three different organs in the body. The testes produce the sperm. The prostate produce some of the fluid, and then the seminal vesicles, the same thing.
Okay.
Some of these things nourish the sperm along the way. So if there are challenges, if it looks watery to you, until they check it, before you say there's a problem with that.
All right, 0700-1000-979. So, before the call came in, I was about asking you regarding the various congenital anomalies that occur. But before then, let's take this call. Hello? Hello? Okay, I think we lost that. Okay, let's look at the various congenital anomalies that can happen in this process of child development.
Thank you. Like I alluded to at the beginning, these congenital anomalies can be as a result of the inherent genetic defect.
So let's take this call. Hello? Hello? Good morning. You know where you're calling from?
Yeah, my name is Dan Lola from Malakia.
Dam Lola from Malakia, go ahead with your question.
Factors
that could lead to early abortion, okay? In a pregnancy. Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe we should quickly answer the question.
So yes. Many things can lead to early abortion in a pregnant woman. It could be because of factors or problems that are with the developing embryo or with the woman herself. Let's take the one from the developing embryo. Like I said, if the genetic material or the constituent of each gamete, if they have some defect, then they may not result into a normal fetus or a normal embryo. And the body has been programmed to get rid of those ones at the earliest possible stage. It's just like in the factory where things are being produced. Take, for example, maybe soap or drinks or anything. The factory has been arranged in such a way that what you call quality control, as those things are getting to the final stage, there are mechanisms put in place that will pick those ones that are maybe not in good shape. Okay? So, and we won't know. We just go to the market, buy the things, we think everything is okay. But there's a lot of things that go into it. What we call quality control. The same thing happens in the baby, in the body too.
Okay.
So if those things are not well formed, they may not be able to reach their full potential, and the body gets rid of them at the earliest possible stage. Some of them escape that, what I call quality control in the body, and then they end up being delivered as congenitally malformed babies. That is when there are problems with the genetic material, the DNA component of the embryo. Now, if the problems are with the woman per se, okay, if the woman has medical challenges that will impair the development of the embryo can come out, or she can have early miscarriages.
What kind of medical challenges?
The number of these medical conditions. Hypertension, if it's not well controlled. Okay? Diabetes, if it's not well controlled. Even malaria.
Malaria?
Yes. If she has malaria, at that time, it can the process, what happens in the body, the metabolic process that happen in the body can affect the progress or the progression or the development of the embryo. And she can have miscarriage, early miscarriage. Apart from those who willfully go and interfere with the pregnancy. She can take some drugs inadvertently to treat some condition without knowing that that drug can interfere with the development of the embryo. And so it will lead to embryo death. And the body will get rid of it as a miscarriage.
Are there things that, the woman can also, apart from the medical aspect of it, that a woman can do that can, you know, disrupt the process? I'm asking because I want to get the scientific view. Because I know that there are different cultural notions there and there about pregnancy and childhood development and everything. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that a woman can do also that can, you know, affect this process?
A lot.
Yeah.
Either inadvertently or ignorantly.
Yes.
You think you are doing something to aid the development of the baby, meanwhile you are causing more injury. For example, a number of things people drink, all these local concoctions and you don't know the constituent. They can contain some toxic material that will affect the progress or the progression or the development.
Let's take this call, sir. Hello.
Hello, good morning. My name is Jinos. I'm calling from Moni, Ibadan.
All right, go ahead, please.
Kudos to the consultant for my studio. Sir, I want to ask him that from what I've been listening to this morning, he has been saying there are so many things that will cause miscarriages, deformation of the baby and the like. So there are so many trial tests that are really well up there. Is it that whenever one is trying to have a baby, one does have one is having issues, one has to keep on doing the test, at the end of the day, you say you are okay, you are fine, and then some of the doctors will tell you that okay, you just have to rely on God and do this. So I want him to just give me personally a summary of how this thing, this 9 month journey could be. Do you want to just keep on relying on God or make sure that all the medical conditions are okay? Because even the madman on the street do give back. So sometimes you wonder like,
okay, you want him to summarize the 9 month journey. Hello, you want him to summarize the 9 month journey for you. Is that what you're saying?
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah,
that's what you want. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Basically, what we advise people, women, when they are pregnant,
yeah,
is to ensure they visit their clinics, hospitals regularly. Okay? You won't know. There are times you won't know you're having some challenges in your body until they do carry out some tests. Okay? You just think you're okay. By the time they carry out some tests, they find out that some things need to be corrected. That is one. Two, pregnant women should avoid taking drugs anyhow unless they are prescribed. Because you won't know which one will affect the development of the baby. Even if you have some medical challenges, they will know which drugs will be
appropriate
or safe. There is no drug that is completely safe in pregnancy. What we do is to juggle which one is the lesser evil.
Okay. Let's take this call, sir. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Yusuf.
Yes, your name, where are you calling from, sir?
Yeah, this is Fonua from Oyedepo, please.
All right, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, please. What might be the cause of a semen coming out from the man's private part without having any sexual intercourse? That is one. Two, if a man has a penis in scrotum,
I don't think I got that. Please, can you repeat the question again, please?
The first question and the second question.
Yes, both of them.
Okay, because the first question, I said what might lead to it when females are coming out from the man's private part.
Without having any sexual relation, you know, semen coming out. Okay, one. All right.
Yes.
The second one.
If a man has pain on his scrotum and the pain later disappears, is there any consequences of that pain that will lead to it later when the pain later disappears?
Okay. Thank you. I'm sure our experts got your question and we would answer them. Yes.
Normally, you get semen out, you ejaculate after reaching an orgasm. you can actually have erection without having intercourse. And so, it's the same process. The semen will come out. And that's what usually happens when people masturbate. Okay? You have erection, the process is programmed to ensure that whatever is along the way comes out, whether you have penetrative intercourse or not. Okay? Secondly, if you have pain in your scrotum, it's advised to go for a check immediately, because a lot of things can happen and it can cause permanent damage. What I mean by permanent damage, in the sense that the germ cells that usually develop into sperms will be irredeemably or irreversibly damaged. Because if that pain is due to some infection and it's not treated, then you are looking for trouble.
Mm.
So if you have pain in your scrotum, please go for a check immediately. The pain can also be due to the fact that the testes got twisted inside. And when they get twisted like that, they are short of blood supply and the germ cells can die. And so you need to go to the hospital quickly. Let them check. Let them say they've looked at it and then there's no problem. Rather than you assuming that there's no problem and then there's a problem.
All right then. So let's get back into the remaining issues now for today. The common issues of concerns about congenital anomalies. That's the question you were about to answer before the calls rolled in. Yes.
Yes. The issues with congenital anomalies. First, basically, it has to do with the building blocks that are not well laid out. Either because of the control that leads to that building block is not there in the first instance, in terms of the genetic material, the DNA component of the gamete. And so, I said these things will be laid out to form the eyeballs, to form the brain, to form the earlobe. So if along the way there is an interruption, either because the control is lost, or there's an external interference in terms of drugs or radiation, then whatever is supposed to be the outcome will not be there, will not be. And so you have a baby that has some congenital malformation. Okay? It also happens, especially when people are carrying what we call multiple pregnancy, twins, triplets. You know, the process is such that there are situations where the woman releases two or three eggs, the two or three eggs get fertilized, and then they lead to multiple pregnancy. There are situations where one egg is fertilized, but during the process, the initial process of cell division, they try to divide into two, and that division is not complete. So they continue to grow, but they are joined together at the area where that division was not complete. And so they end up being what we call conjoined twins.
Mm.
Of course, these days, science has developed to the extent that they can do wonders, separating them and co.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Your name, where are you calling from?
You're not coming from here, my church.
All right, go ahead, please. Please move away from your radio. Move away from your radio, sir.
I've done that.
Okay, so, yes. You haven't moved away from your radio. Please move away. Hello?
Hello?
Please speak up, so I can hear you. Yes, it's better now. Speak up, please. Yes.
What are the causes of early ejaculation, like early ejaculation in man, and what are the solutions to that? Number two, and could this effect early ejaculation result into pregnancy?
I didn't get that. I didn't get the second question.
The second question is, can this effect of early ejaculation in man result to fertilization of a matured ovum of a woman? Can it result to fertilization, this issue of early ejaculation?
Early what?
I think it said something about early ejaculation. I don't think I got it completely.
Honestly, I didn't. But let me assume that the first part of the question was if there's failure of ejaculation or something.
Yeah.
Like, Well, this, I'm very sure, people, when they get to certain age, they have erection problem, they have ejaculation problem. It's a multifactorial. At that age, you have so many other things to psychologically affect you, and so your mind is not well focused. That can be part of why you are having such erectile, what we call erectile dysfunction. Yes. And so, and it can also be as a result of some medical challenges in the person. Or it can also be as a result of drugs that the person is taking. So the best thing would be to seek help. Let them examine properly. And there are solutions. Okay? Now, whether you have early ejaculation or late ejaculation or whatever, once you ejaculate into the woman's genital tract, and then there are goosebumps there, the egg in her can get fertilized and develop into a baby. Whether it's early or late ejaculation.
Doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. As long as that thing is inside her. Okay, they will find their ways. Water will find its level. Now, if you ejaculate outside the genital tract, or outside the vagina of the woman, then chances of the sperm manipulating its way through is very slim. Okay? Now, if people have early ejaculation like that, or what we call premature ejaculation, then it could be a psychological problem. And all they need to do is to seek medical help, and they will sort it out.
Okay, so let's go back to the anomalies that you were discussing.
Yes, so those anomalies can be from the baby's composition.
Yes.
Now, there are some what we call structural defects. Okay? For example, if the woman has some, maybe a womb has some defect inside that will not allow the baby to have enough space to develop. Such a baby might come out with some deformities, not necessarily genetic. And those deformities are structural and they are correctable after delivery. Okay? The other things that can also lead to genetic or what we call congenital malformation, again, if the woman at the time of the fertilization or at the time of laying down of the blocks, the building blocks, if the woman is on some medication or is taking certain drugs, or even if she's drinking too much of alcohol, that can affect further development of those building blocks. And maybe will come out with some form of
deformities
of some form of congenital malformation or the other.
Okay, there's another thing I would quickly want to ask you. It's something I've heard before. It's called ectopic pregnancy. So what happens in this case in terms of the formation of the embryo and development into fetus? So what makes the ectopic pregnancy different from the usual pregnancy that we know?
Thank you, sir. I said at the beginning that fertilization, most of the time, it takes place inside the tube. A woman has one womb, two tubes, one on either side. Okay? The opening of the tube is close to where the ovaries are. And once the egg is released from the ovary, they enter the tube. And with the redeeming movement of the tube, the egg is sucked in and goes in through inside. Hopefully, there will be sperm waiting, and the two of them meet inside that tube and then get fertilized, becomes an embryo. Now, then that rhythmic movement of the tube will suck in the embryo until it enters into the womb, it will continue to develop. Now, during that process, which usually take about 7 days, during that process, if the inside passage of the tube is blocked or is narrowed unnecessarily, then the embryo that is already developing, the cells are dividing rapidly, may not be able to get past that obstacle. And then it will continue to develop there.
So what can make the tube narrow or not open for it to move into the womb?
If the lumen is too narrow, ab initio, it won't be able to pass through. If the lumen was okay before, but there was infection, and there could be all kind of infection.
Okay.
That will narrow that lumen. So the embryo that is developing will not be able to navigate through that obstacle and it will continue to develop. But that place is not supposed to hold such a thing. So after some time, it will burst. So we say ectopic pregnancy is pregnancy that is outside the inside of the womb. Once it's not inside the cavity of the womb, where it is naturally programmed to stay, then that's an ectopic pregnancy. It's outside its normal habitat.
Yeah, and that means it cannot survive.
It will get to a stage where it will burst. If it's in the tube will burst. And that will become an emergency. At times, the fertilization takes place inside the ovary. The egg has not come out fully, and the sperm goes to meet the egg there. There is fertilization. So it will continue to develop because that place doesn't have the apparatus to hold the pregnancy. It will burst.
Okay, let's take this call. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning. All right, go ahead.
Thank you for the good work you're doing. I don't want us to forget the side of what can make a man's sperm standard to fertilize the woman's egg. That's the question. Thank you.
Okay. It says, what can make a man's sperm not to be of good standard to be able to, you know, fertilize the egg? I think it's because we've been talking about the woman. So, yeah, what factors come into play for the man?
A lot of things can happen.
Okay.
Okay. Being able to ejaculate, to reach orgasm, and being able to ejaculate does not necessarily mean that man has good quality sperm.
That can fertilize
an egg. It could be because the sperm are defective. And if they are defective, they won't be able to perform the function. It's like having an able-bodied man sitting down and then you expect him to carry a load. Meanwhile, he has an amputated arm. He cannot carry that load, even though he's looking able-bodied and fit. So if the sperm genetic material are defective, if what we call the DNA are not good, then it's not going to be able to fertilize.
For the woman, you've mentioned, you know, drugs that can hamper the process. You've mentioned alcohol. What about for the man?
Men too. Drugs can affect. Okay, they can affect the development of the sperm, and if they don't develop well, they won't be able to perform the function that they are meant to perform. So. But you see, most men, once they reach orgasm, they ejaculate, they think they're okay. They're not okay. It's when we do the test in the lab, then we realize that what they are going around with is probably they are firing empty shell.
And to hear from an expert again, I've heard different stories about the choice of clothing for a man, how you use your laptop, all of those things.
Let me just say that... science has told us that the reason why the testes, the scrotum, is hanging outside the body is to have the temperature there a little bit lower than the inside of the body to allow the sperm to develop. So when you wear tight clothing, especially things that will not allow your perineum to breathe, so to say, the temperature there will go up and that can affect the development of the sperm. So you advise them to wear things like cotton-made material that can allow the temperature there to be slightly lower than that of the body. Okay.
All right. It's been a very informative session on the Inkaba Science Show on the Beat 97.9 FM. Remember, the show comes your way every Monday, 9 o'clock till 9:45. And then on Thursday, you can listen to a brief broadcast of this episode at 5 p.m. We've been discussing the science of child development from conception to birth. Our guest has been Professor Shino Oladokun, Professor of Obstetric and Gynecology, University College Hospital, UCH Ibadan. Thank you once again for being a part of the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening as well. Thank you for calling to participate in the program. Join us again next Monday for another edition, and on Thursday, 5 p.m. for a repeat broadcast of this episode. My name is Ola.